إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، ما كل ما نطقوا الحروف أبانوا، فلقد يذوب بما يقول لسان، لغة الوفاء شريفة كلماتها، فيها عن الحب الأصيل بيان، والقدس أرملة يلفعها الأسى، وتميت بهجة قلبها الأحزان، شلال أدمعها على دفقاتها ثار البخار فعامت الأجفان، حسناء صبحها العدو بمدفع تهوي على طلقاته الأركان، أدمى محاجرها الرصاص ولم تزل، شماء ضاق بصبرها العدوان، ألقى إليها السامري بعجله وبذات أنواط زهى الشيطان، بالأمس ودعها ابنها وحليلها وابن اختها وصديقه حسان، باتت بلا زوج ولا ابن ولا جار يصون جوارها ويصان. ويقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم التنزيل: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, glorify and exalted he who took his slave for a journey by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the grand mosque, to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the furthest mosque around which we have blessed. Dear brothers and sisters, this is an ayah that mentions Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa by name and link it to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the Grand Mosque in Mecca, talking about the Isra, the night journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a night journey from Al-Masjid Al-Harami ila Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, from the Grand Mosque to the furthest mosque, and then ascended to heavens. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is in Al-Quds. Al-Quds, Madinat Al-Quds, the city of Al-Quds, which is called Jerusalem, is one of the most ancient cities in the world. It goes back more than 45 centuries. It is a place where Judaism, Christianity, and sealed by Islam were there. One of the names of Al-Quds is Yabus. Yabus is one of the oldest names, Jubas, and that is affiliated to the early inhabitants of Al-Quds, the Jebusites. They lived there more than 45 centuries ago, and they are from the Arabs. Urishalim also is one of the names, is one of the names of Al-Quds. Urishalim, Jerusalem, also is named Elia Capitolina or Elia, Aliyah, and also is called Bayt Al-Maqdis, Al-Quds, Wal-Quds Al-Sharif. Al-Quds Al-Sharif is named by the Ottomans, but Al-Quds was known, the name of Al-Quds was known for the first time during the Abbasid Caliph Al-Ma'mun in year 2017 after Hijrah. That is around 831 AC. He, that is Al-Ma'mun, struck coins that carried the name Quds. I can talk about the early inhabitants of Al-Quds, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Byzantines, and so on. Also, it was taken over by the Persians for the first time in year 1614, and they destroyed most of its monasteries and churches. Hercules took it back, and that is غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَالِبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ. They were, the Romans were defeated by the Persians, and then the Romans defeated the Persians and took it back. Then Umar ibn al-Khattab was handed the keys by the then Christians who lived there in that, and he gave the covenant to look after it. And since that time, Al-Quds is an Islamic land until the Day of Judgment. It is awqaf, it is dedicated for the Muslims and for Islamic worship and Islamic activities. The city was refurbished, or it was rebuilt, during the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and also the mosque was rebuilt in 73 after Hijrah. Again, it was rebuilt during the time of Abu Ja'far al-Mansur in 154 after Hijrah. It was occupied by the Crusades, and it was liberated by Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi, who was from Kurdish origins, nevertheless a Muslim leader who regained it back. Dear brothers and sisters, Bayt al-Maqdis and Bayt al-Maqdis and al-Masjid al-Aqsa, they have a very, very special place in Islam and in the hearts of Muslims. It is mentioned in many places in Al-Quran. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we saved him, that is Ibrahim and Lut, his nephew, to the land which we had blessed for the worlds. It is the second mosque built for humankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَسْجِدٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَ. The first masjid built for humankind is Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Mecca. And in the hadith narrated in Al-Bukhari wa Muslim and An-Nasa'i and others, Abu Dharr Al-Ghafari radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which masjid was built first? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Al-Masjid Al-Haram. He said, قال المسجد الحرام. So المسجد الحرام was the first to be built. And then he said, and then Abu Dharr al-Ghafari asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after المسجد الحرام, which masjid was built? He said, المسجد الأقصى. And الأقصى, by the way, it means the furthest. القصي, it means far. and far with relation to Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And then Abu Dharr Al-Ghaffari radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَهُمَا, what is the distance in time between them? We know the distance in geography, but what is the distance in time? He said 40 years. So between Al-Masjid Al-Haram and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, there are only 40 years. Now, who built Al-Masjid Al-Haram and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa? You will find in the books of Tafsir three opinions. One of them is definitely not right. And that is the opinion that says Ibrahim built Al-Masjid Al-Haram, because he did not build it. He raised its foundation. He was there. It was there. And then it was demolished. It was hit by a flood. And then people forgot all about it. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came and raised its foundation. So that is for sure. So who built it? And then even in the ayah it says it's the first masjid built for humankind. So if it was built at the time of Ibrahim, what about all the generations, the thousands of years between Adam and Ibrahim? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is the first masjid built for humankind. And Adam is from humankind. So it must have been there. Either when Adam came on earth, and that is the second opinion, saying that the angels built it, and hence 40 years later was Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, or in another opinion, Adam alayhi salam built Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and there is an opinion that 40 years later Adam built Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and some they say it's Sheth, one of his sons, built Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So this is really relating Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. It is relating the first mosque ever built to humankind, and also it is related, dear brothers and sisters, to Mecca, which is the center of one of the greatest pillars of Islam, that is Al-Hajj. And in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد. Al-Masjid Al-Haram, ومسجدي هذا والمسجد الأقصى. There are, you cannot say, oh, I'm going to another masjid because there is greater thawab, and you embark on a journey apart, because all masjids are equal. If you pray in any masjid in the world, whether it's small or huge, the thawab is the same. However, the thawab of Al-Masjid Al-Haram, as we know, is 100,000 times the salah in any other masjid. And the thawab of Al-Masjid, Masjid Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinah is 1,000 times. And the thawab in Masjid Al-Aqsa, there are some narrations that talks about 500 times, but the strongest one is 250 times, according to a hadith that is narrated by Al-Hakim, وصححه الذهبي وصححه ووافقه الذهبي. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith it says that صلاة في مسجد هذا أربع أضعاف صلاة في المسجد الأقصى. Four times, if you pray in the masjid of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, is four times more ثواب than المسجد الأقصى. And we know it is 1,000 times, so it's 250 times. It is the first Qibla of the Muslims. The Muslims were directed towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa for 16 or 17 months. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take his Qibla as Al-Bayt Al-Haram. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was eager to have his Qibla, the Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala redirected him to Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And we learn that it is Masr al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarked on that journey to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and he led a prayer that is unrivaled in the history of prayers, leading all the prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام from the time of Adam until the last prophet before Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that is Isa, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was their leader. And we know in hadith صحيح, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 124,000 prophets and messengers, including Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is no masjid in the world at all that we know that all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prayed in apart from المسجد الأقصى. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. We know in the last couple of weeks there were incidents around Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, but these incidents were not the first and will not be the last. These incidents were motivated by the Israeli occupation forces preventing people. 2 weeks ago there was no Jum'ah prayer, and that was not known for 50 years. And also they installed electronic gates and cameras, and the people in Bayt al-Maqdis, in Al-Quds, and the Palestinians, they refused to use these gates because it means that they consent that the Israeli occupation forces are actually in control, and they are not, and they should not. So, very, very briefly, part of Al-Quds was occupied during the 1948 war, that parts of Palestine were occupied by the Zionist and Israeli occupation forces. Then that was what they call, although all parts of Bayt al-Maqdis are one, that was in 1948, the western part, and the eastern part came under the occupation in 1967. There was a Security Council resolution, very well known, number 242, asking the Israeli occupation forces to withdraw from Sinai Desert, from West Bank, from Gaza Strip, the Golan Heights, and from, if you like, the eastern part of Al-Quds. Although, again, we stress that both parts of Al-Quds are Muslim parts, and any division is unacceptable and rejected. There have been so many onslaughts and so many attacks on Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. On the 30th of January 1967, one of the Israeli courts gave the Jews the right to pray in the courts of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in any time during the day. On the 15th of August, in the same year, 67, they claimed that they found the Solomon Temple underneath Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And there are, dear brothers and sisters, whether there is or there isn't, this land is a Muslim land, and Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, they were Muslim prophets, and that land is handed to the Muslims of the time, which the Muslims, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nevertheless, there are no traces. They tried, they looked everywhere, they used the latest technologies, and they could not find any trace of what they call the Solomon Temple anywhere in that area. The masjid was burned down on the 21st of August 67. The by Dennis Michael, who, an Australian, and he was released later claiming that he is mentally incapable. So if they do something wrong, they are mentally incapable. And if a Muslim does anything, then he or she are terrorists. In 1970, they started to open tunnels underneath Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and that really affected its foundations and caused cracks here and there, and threatened that Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa would fall. In 1979, they built a small synagogue underneath Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and it was launched by the Prime Minister at that time in 1986. Continuous attacks on Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and the guards, of course, as well as the Muslims praying there. In 1982, for example, there was one with more than 100 casualties. There was an attempt to blow up Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in 1984, and there is no doubt that there are plans to demolish Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa if the Israeli occupation forces can. In the last two or so weeks, alhamdulillah, the Muslims in Al-Bayt in Al-Quds and around Al-Quds, they refused to go through the gates. They refused to consent to the occupation forces being in charge, and they refused to go through the gates, so much so that put pressure on the Israeli occupation government to remove them, and yesterday it was a victory for the people of Al-Quds and the people of Palestine and the Muslims, albeit the support, of course, there were some demonstration here and there, some in London, some in Istanbul, in Indonesia, and so on, but it does not really upgrade to what you hope. And also, of course, with almost absence of any Muslim leaders saying much about what's happening. Anyway, what can we do? I think that is the question. What can we do? I'm sure that you are following the news. If you are not following the news, dear brothers and sisters, there is nothing more important than following such a news. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, dear brothers and sisters, is the symbol of Palestine, and is the symbol of pride for the Muslim. It's the symbol of victory for the Muslims. And also, it is a very, very important place. The historians, if you read even in the old history books, they look at Bayt al-Maqdis as the barometer of the world. If it is peaceful, the rest of the world is more likely to enjoy peace. And if it lacks peace, then the rest of the world will never have peace. And if you see, if you read in the last 70 or so years, then you'll find that this is very, very true. And instead of having better, improving on our lives, we are losing Syria, the Iraq is in a big mess. And even those who did not have a problem in the Gulf area, they invented a problem amongst themselves. So as no one is living in peace, subhanallah, why? You never understand. But everyone is not looking, their compass is not directing towards Bayt al-Maqdis that they should be really thinking. So what we can do? The first thing I would say, dear brothers and sisters, of course you need to have that importance to Bayt al-Maqdis. But I would say before that, instill the love of Al-Aqsa in the heart of our children. You may or may not think that you can do much. You can. And whatever you can is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But preparing a generation to come to be linked with Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and Al-Quds and Palestine and the pride of Muslims, that takes generations. And you should really, as you read, mashallah, and you should read the stories of Al-Hijra, the stories of Islam at the beginning. Also, you should read the stories of Bayt al-Maqdis to your kids. And there are numerous books about that. You should link them. You should make them love that place. You should, in my opinion, have a circle in every place, if not in every masjid, in every other masjid, or in any area, talking about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and Palestine, and being aware of the history and how it is very much linked with Islam and the Muslims. If 2-3 years pass, you as audience do Friday prayers and you don't hear anything about Bayt al-Maqdis or Palestine, I would say even within 12 months you should raise a red flag and tell the organizers that you are forgetting something extremely important. You should endeavor to have, of course, we as Khatibs, we have that responsibility, but you also have that responsibility. And it applies to any subject that you think it's important, no one is talking about it. Visiting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, particularly if you have British passport, then you will have no problem. In the past, the ulama said, people should not be visiting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and because it's under occupation, etc., it means that you... Then they retrieved and they retracted, if you like, their fatwa, and now it says, go and pray in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, peacefully. Bring your kids, travel through Jordan or wherever, and then go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, show them Al-Bayt, spend money on the hotels, support the people of Al-Aqsa by buying from them, using their taxes, buying their food, encouraging them, and you'll find them very hospitable people. Do that. Remember, if you say, the Prophet ﷺ did Umrah al-Qadha in Mecca while it was under the control of Al-Kuffar, the enemies of Islam at that time, and also there were 360 idols on the top of Al-Kaaba, and did not stop the Prophet ﷺ to do the Umrah. Because that place does not belong to Al-Kuffar and does not belong to anybody. And whoever is looking after it, whether it is Al-Aqsa or Mecca or Al-Madinah, it is an honor for them, and the Muslims should support them in looking after that place. So going to Al-Aqsa is extremely important. The impression that your kids will have is unrivaled. It is beyond telling 1,000 stories. Use WhatsApp, Twitter, emails, whatever technology to spread the knowledge, but the right knowledge. Make sure whatever you send, whether it's about Al-Aqsa or anything else, people send a hadith that they don't even read, because if they read, they would for sure know that it is not a hadith. You should check. If you get a forward, read it. If it sounds like, you know, maybe it is not right, go and check whether that is correct. So if you want to share information, make sure that you share the right information. Otherwise, walayadu billah, we will be spreading lies. Financial support, dear brothers and sisters. I remember my father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him rahmah, he told me that in the early 30s, the people in general in Palestine, they were very well off. And the people of Al-Quds, because it is the capital, were driving cars that people did not hear about. So the people originally are not poor, not the Palestinians, not the people of Bayt al-Quds, or in any problem, like in Syria, the Syrian people are very well off people. They have trades, they have all sorts of businesses, but if they are exposed to war, they are expelled, they lose their homes, they lose their businesses, then they become poor. And that is also what's happening to the people around Al-Aqsa. because they are under close scrutiny by the Israeli occupation forces. They withdraw their identity cards. They demolish their houses. They don't allow them for extensions. They cannot redecorate. Sometimes they are offered huge amounts of money to sell a small house or a place, and of course they refuse. Shopkeepers, they are taxed extremely heavily, so much so that they can barely make any profit. Of course, taxed by the occupation regime. Hence, dear brothers and sisters, we need to support our brothers and sisters. For example, Al-Aqsa Foundation, Bayt Al-Aqsa Foundation is a registered UK charity. Inshallah, tomorrow it will be live on Al-Hiwar TV. I was asked to be a guest. If you, between 8 and 11 o'clock in the evening, and you can see what's happening there, and you can financially support, or you can support via Islamic Relief and many others, many other charities that actually have an account for Al-Aqsa. There are many others we can do. I'm sure you are aware of, but also last but not at all least is make dua for your brothers and sisters who actually use their flesh and blood to protect Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. They use their bare chests to defend Al-Aqsa that belongs to all the Muslims in the world, not just for them. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم حرر الأقصى من براهثن المعتدين المجرمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في بيت المقدس وفي أكناف بيت المقدس. اللهم ارحم موتاهم وتقبل شهداءهم. اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف واكسهم من عري وتقبل جهادهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.